Thai kitchen, the basil bunny bruschetta pizza at Three Wise Men, the fried pickles at Twin Archer, and until they broke my heart, truly, and did away with them, the tachos at Scotty's. Tachos for the uninitiated are tater tots with all the usual nacho fixings on top. Amazing. These are the dishes that I always get at some of my favorite restaurants. And why wouldn't I? They're a dance party for my taste buds. They're the good stuff. There's an opportunity cost, though, if we fall into a pattern of always getting the same things. We miss out on other options that are possibly just as good or, and this is hard to believe in the case of the tachos, but true, maybe even better. Elizabeth and I realized this summer that we had done this with our choice of going out for breakfast restaurants. Our favorite place had been recommended to us when we first got here, and so that's where we always went. Except that there are actually a lot of places to get breakfast here in Muncie, and we hadn't been to any of them. So this summer, slowly over the course of weeks, we did a tour. And as it turns out, our favorite restaurant still is in our top two, but we also found a second favorite, which we'd heard about, but for 4 years had never gone to. We also, of course, had some mediocre breakfasts along the way. But I'm glad we tried. Because those mediocre breakfasts are often the reason we avoid trying something new. If we know we like this dish or that kind of movie or that kind of food, it can be easy to stick with what we know we like. Especially if trying something new means potentially getting something that we're less than excited about. For me, I have to coach myself. Because I hate sitting there in a restaurant eating something new that I tried and I'm not particularly enjoying, and knowing that, oh, if I'd only ordered my old standby, I'd be enjoying this meal right now. The thing is, though, of course, that you have to risk and go through the experience of having those mediocre meals and dishes if you're going to be able to find the new favorites. If we only ever stuck with our breakfast favorite, we'd never have found the second one. No risk, no reward. So whether it's food, or a new activity, or a new relationship, friendship, romantic, or otherwise, taking the risk, knowing you might not enjoy some of the new things you try, it's a form of making space. You may love bike riding to death, but if all you ever do is ride your bike, you might never find out that you love bowling, too. And granted, you may discover along the way that curling and kayaking are simply not for you. But you can you imagine a life where you never discovered the fine art of bowling? Hard to even conceive of. Trying something new is no guarantee that you'll like it. But if you don't try, you haven't even made the space for the possibility of finding out that making ships in the bottle is simply the best thing ever. Says author C. Joybel C., we can't be afraid of trying something new. You may feel very secure in the pond that you are in, but if you never venture out of it, you will never know that there is such a thing as an ocean, a sea. Holding on to something that is good for you now may be the very reason why you don't have something better. In our increasingly ever busy lives, this is particularly true. Sure, in an empty field, there's room for lots of new things to grow. But most of our lives are not like empty fields. They're far more like a small car packed with a family of five's vacation items for a one-week trip, packed to the gills with bags and toys and gears, and probably with bicycles strapped on the back and a canoe strapped on top. If we don't make time, if we don't create space for something new to come in, it won't, because too often we're already overflowing. Now, in many cases, there's the option of expanding. Upgrade that four-door sedan to a minivan, and your family of five is going to have a lot more space. Or, as I have become aware, if everything you need doesn't fit in your purse, there's always the option to buy a bigger one. There's not always the option to upgrade, though. There's no way to increase the amount of time in a given day. And as much as my kids try, I've come to realize that really and truly there is only so much space on my lap. Other upgrades, like a new car or an addition on the house, can be costly, sometimes prohibitively so. So if often we're limited to what we currently have, what does it mean to actually make space in our lives? In terms of physical stuff, it usually means getting rid of something. In terms of time, it could mean saying no or simply not doing things. Sometimes making space means letting go of something that has been important to us or accepting that it won't quite be the way we've been used to. Unitarian Universalism actually embraces this kind of thinking. Because one of the hardest things to do is to make new space for ideas and beliefs. We have a tendency to get very attached to what we believe to be true, even in the face of powerful evidence to the contrary. We become so attached, in fact, that we fall subject to what's called selection bias. Studies have actually shown that often we literally ignore the information that comes in contradicting what we believe to be true, and only actually hear and take in the information that confirms what we already know. Our faith tradition calls us to always be on a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. And that call, a call we created for ourselves, it exists because there is danger in holding on to our current set of truths too tightly. UU Minister Reverend Leslie Takahashi writes, "They teach us to read in black and white. Truth is this, the rest is false. You are whole or broken. Who you love is acceptable or not. Life tells its truth in many hues. We are taught to think in either or, to believe the teachings of Jesus or Buddha, to believe in human potential or a power beyond the single will. I am broken or I am powerful." Life embraces multiple truths, speaks of both and of and. We are taught to see in absolutes, good versus evil, male versus female, old versus young, gay versus straight. Let us see the fractions, she concludes, the spectrum, the margins. Let us open our hearts to the complexity of our worlds. Let us make our lives sanctuaries to nurture our many identities. The day is coming when all will know that the rainbow world is more gorgeous than the monochrome, that a river of identities can ebb and flow over the static, stubborn rocks in its course, but the margins hold the center. A core tenet of Unitarian Universalism is that we are always on the lookout for new truth and meaning. And if we're going to honor the full and deepest intent of that free and responsible search, we have to be willing to make space for the new. As B noted in her reflection, we're not called to find our truth once, set it in stone, and be done at age 13 or age 33 or even at age 83. We are called to be continuing to explore our faith, our spirituality, our ethics, to allow ourselves to be seeking that new truth, and to live into that truth when we find it. There are new truths, and then there are new ways that those truths, such as feeling welcomed and like you belong and loved, are lived into reality. So let me share with you one way a Unitarian Universalist truth has been lived into being. Some schools have put into place something called a buddy bench on their playgrounds, which basically is a bench, right, a buddy bench, where kids who don't have anyone to play with can sit and wait for someone else who doesn't have anyone to play with to come by. It's a small, simple thing, these buddy benches, but I can only imagine how nice it might be to have a place to go where you might find a welcome, especially when you're feeling alone in the moment. In this case, the school itself is making space for something new, and it's an easy win. So I ask this morning that we consider two ways of making space for the blessings that can come from newness and change. The first is here in our congregation. I hope as we begin this experiment with two services that we can allow for the magic of the newness of those we hope are going to come through our doors. We have begun this experiment so that we can create more space for others, others who might not yet have found our church community. The challenge, though, will be to do more than just physically create this space for them to be here by our expansion. The challenge will be if we can mentally and emotionally create space for them by becoming a little bit more, by becoming a little bit smaller ourselves, by perhaps letting go a little bit and creating space for what new joy and insights that they might bring. Not becoming too small, not self-sacrifice, but simply just pulling back a little bit and then looking towards what we can do to make our version of the buddy bench. And then second, I hope we can make space for the blessings that come with newness and change in our own lives. Where might you make space in your life? Maybe it's time set aside, quality time to be spent with a child, or quality time spent connecting more deeply with a spouse or partner. Maybe it's setting aside fear to finally try something that you've always wanted. Maybe it's stopping numbing your feelings, which so many of us do in so many ways, by being too busy or overeating or spending too much time on our phone or drinking too much, and instead making space and time to be present to our feelings. There's so many things that could be new, that could be bringing magic into our lives. What magic is out there waiting for you? As we go about our days, as we go about our weeks, may we try to make space for the new. There is so much joy, there is so much goodness, and it can be scary, it can be hard, it can be easy and comfortable to do what we know. But really, this is such a place of potential, such a place for growth, such a place for magic. I hope we can make space for there to be magic here and magic in our lives.